Yippee! Yippee! Yippee!
Listen, what's the title of this thing? No title again?
Anda de lo le di el
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Mina-san. This is a little early, early in the week for me to be podcasting. And you can tell by the running water where we are. If you hear a noise in the background, that is Adam Curry. And no, he's not visiting me in Scarborough. That's his podcast playing on my desktop iMac. And just kind of have him in the background, that's all. I don't really need to listen. Hope other people treat my show a little more respectfully than I'm treating Adam Curry right now, but actually, I heard some of it last night just before I fell asleep. Okay, we're going. I'm starting this now because I got a busy week. My good friend, Jumping Jake, is arriving today from London. He's on another one of his worldwide business trips, I guess, visiting clients. He's in London now, or flying from London, arrives in Toronto this afternoon, and we'll be spending the next couple of days with the Scarborough dude, so I'm pretty excited about that. He is probably one of the coolest people I've ever met. I might get back a little later on. I probably will, yeah. I'll come back to talking about that story. I'm starting now because, man, oh man, I'm calm now, but an hour ago, I'm surprised, you know, I'm not strapped into a gurney in an ambulance right now with a heart attack and, you know, muttering my last words and having these weird thoughts floating in and out or floating above my body, because I just lost it this morning. And if anybody out there is a parent or parent of a teenage child, you may understand a little bit. I'm not proud of myself at all. I feel terrible. And I've apologized to both my sons. And no, I didn't hit anybody. But man, did I yell. I just lost it. And I'm embarrassed about that. And so I'm kind of doing another confession cast here, because I've got to get it out of my system. But I know some people will understand. It's my wife's early day, so up earlier than usual to get her off to work. Should talk about her work sometime, and a little more about my dear wife sometime, but there will be time. I'm around for another 6 months anyway, so don't you worry. But where were we? Yeah, waking number one son up, and then just having him just lie there in bed and not get up. Calling again, you know, making some breakfast, making their lunch, calling again, and finally going upstairs for the third time and finding him still in bed. And it's like, yeah, these are just false alarms, you know. My dad's just shouting for the hell of it. And I lost it. I just flipped. God damn it, get the fuck out of bed now. You know, and I guess maybe in retrospect, a lot of people will understand. It's not that bad. But sadly, my number two son was already up and downstairs, and, he, you know, he doesn't have a problem. He can go to bed late and get up early. But I really felt bad because it was so unpleasant for him. Number one, to hear his father angry, you know, saying, God damn it, I'm going to have a fucking heart attack. Stressful for him when he didn't deserve it. He had done nothing wrong, and so I really, really do feel bad about that. And the only good that comes out of this, when I drove him to school separately, I deliberately took him in, and I apologized and told him really how sorry I was, and I understood how unfair that was and how terrible that must make him feel, and I really am sorry, and I shouldn't lose it. And I explained why, that, you know, I just lose it. I just go round the bend when I see my son still lying in bed after the third or fourth call, and him saying, yeah. But, and what I tell all the boys is, I'm a dog. I bark, I just get angry and bark, and it's over. And I don't keep anything inside me. And I tell them that it's worse if I, you know, hold these grudges. But I just make a lot of noise, and then it's done, and I'm fine. Like, I'm calm now. And I told the scene to number one son. I said, I'm not going to apologize, but I did anyway. But you got to understand how that pisses me off. And how you got to start getting yourself out of bed without having your old man come running upstairs three times, you know, succession, just trying to get you to rouse yourself out of bed. But I just feel stupid about it, you know, like what a stupid, and there's a voice in my head, like it's almost like I'm watching it in a movie, and another voice is sitting there, you asshole, that's not the way to handle it. I have a sense of humor, the kid's 15, it's hard to get up, is this a big deal, isn't this typical, what are you getting your shorts in a knot for, you know, you are going to give yourself a fucking heart attack, why are you so excited about this, keep it in perspective, man. You know, and then I get angrier because I'm just, you know I'm losing it, and I feel so immature. I feel so childish, like I've sunk lower than their level, and that's what really bugs me. You know, I'm the child. So I'm telling you because I'm trying to show warts and all. Maybe somebody has some advice out there for me. I know medication would help. But I don't think that's the route I really want to go down. So that's one thing that got me going. Now, there's another more positive reason for starting this podcast, and damned if I can remember now. Let's see. Nothing to do with the weather. It's kind of a shitty rainy day. Remnants of Hurricane Wilma, I guess, passing through, giving us a little rain, but boy, nothing to complain about here in beautiful old Scarborough. Oh yeah, more shootings. Like a weekend full of shootings in the city. I've talked about this before, but like, man, it's national news now. Sadly, it's going to be international news, and this has an impact. I mean, I could get another school canceling. We're not sending our kids to Toronto. They shoot each other in the streets. And they are. I was at a meeting last night and spoke with the police officer. Won't give his name, but who's community representative, and he said, hey, it's still a great city, but yeah, it's a problem. And of course the problem is nobody's coming forward, nobody dares come forward and rats on the guys who carry the guns and shoot each other. People know who they are, you can't keep it a secret, but they know, man, if you rat, you're a goner, or your family or something. And it's tragic. It really has got to a very serious stage here in Toronto. You can't just point the finger at Scarborough. This is North York, this is, you know, Mississauga, this is all over the city. There are gangs running rampant. Now, I do hold governments partly responsible. Yeah, I mean, they can't take all the heat. I mean, these young assholes gotta know better. But they're fighting over battle turf, you know, for drug wars. Well, God damn it, if it was legalized and the power was taken away from the gang, you wouldn't have half this trouble that you've got now. So that's one thing. Now also on CBC, now by the way, now that CBC is back, it's cut into my podcast listening time. But that's okay. They did a woman out in Saskatchewan who was suing her drug dealer. She had a heart attack and serious health problems. And she's suing her dealer. Civil action suit against him. And that's kind of interesting. I don't think that's the solution, but I think it's a good issue to be raised. You know, it was crack cocaine. It's not pot. Nobody's going to sue a dealer for pot because you're not going to have those reactions. But this was methamphetamine, I guess, and she just she lost it and got really sick. And she, you know, she had weaned herself off this drug and then met him again at a party, and he smoked up in front of her, and she joined in. So of course, everybody can say, "Well, she's responsible. You can't sue him," but the case is, you know, he's making money on this. He's caused harm with something that he knows is dangerous, and he's benefiting from it, and it's criminal negligence. So anyway, that's an interesting case to watch. They do have similar laws in the States. They're saying that if a person was hurt and injured by negligence through a car accident, their losses would be covered. But when it's drugs and you put somebody through rehabilitation, there was the case of a 13-year-old girl who was given cocaine by her neighbor, and by the time she was 16, she was a prostitute out in the street. Her life ruined, and her parents spent, you know, probably hundreds of thousands of dollars in recovery programs, and basically a lost life. And so they passed a law right across the states holding, you know, the dealers responsible. Interesting thing to watch and see it unfold, because we've really got to solve this problem, and that ties in with so much. But this, you know, this government doesn't have the guts. The pressure from America is unbearable to have a responsible, mature attitude towards the drug problem, the drug trade. You'd think we would have learned from Prohibition, but no, apparently not. So, there's the other rant. I guess that's enough. That's a start. This would be podcast 32, by the way. This is not yet, I will warn you in advance, when the boys and girls separate podcasts are coming, but I think it's going to be pretty damn soon. So, stay tuned, keep listening, and here I'll reward you. Like a bone for a dog, you get another nice tune. Hope you like it. Don't know what it is yet, but I'm going to dig into that batch and find it for you. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Moshi Moshi, I guess you can hear me, yeah, I don't know, I'm looking at my sound trail in Audacity here, sitting at the big desktop iMac, nice big 17-inch screen, and figured I'll do a little segment from here. I kind of wanted to add a PS onto the earlier Shavecast. I'm just back from grocery shopping, and came home and really felt kind of shitty about it. And it's not that I'm having such a bad day at all. It's just I'm trying to come clean with You know, all the fucking mistakes I'm making. I just spent, I don't know, maybe another $80. I go shopping, I don't know how many times a week since I've taken it over. And then my wife will go out. We spend a ton on groceries. The kids snack in between meals. Any junk food I buy, they eat. And this is what I'm disturbed about. I come out of there and I realized I've got drinks. I mean, I could, you know, quench everybody's thirst out in the Sahara Desert. It's amazing. I just always stock up on juices and stuff. Not so much pop, but juice everywhere. The kids drink a lot, and I, psychologically, I just need it, even if I'm not drinking all that much. And all I needed was margarine and eggs, and I ended up spending maybe $80, and a lot of, you know, snacks for the kids for school, and little puddings and stuff we don't need, and not one fucking vegetable. And that's what I'm upset about. Like, I really want to change my lifestyle. I really want to get healthy. And it's not that I'm so unhealthy. I function. Everybody look at me and say, wow, you look fine. You know, I'm just 5 pounds over where I should be. So I'm not in bad shape, except I don't. I know my heart is eventually going to do me in. But I just can't change these habits, these bad habits. And, you know, always Barnacle Bill's always talking. He's got to do his fruit and vegetable run at a favorite market. And I go in. Oh, I bought some bananas. You know, there's a discount pile of bananas for 99 cents. I got those. And I'm really big on the breads. Right now, I bought some naan, a whole loaf of it. It's just great. Heated it up. It's a spicy one. So I've got that and some dip. What have I got here? An onion dip. So that kind of shit I can buy. Things to go with beer. That's what I often buy. And I'm a little bit ashamed of that. In fact, I'm very ashamed of that. Don't know what it's going to take for me to change my lifestyle. It seems such a huge leap, and I know it's something I have to do. But in so much of my life these days, I'm just feeling powerless, like I talked earlier about just nagging the kids and stuff. I just feel it's just got away from me. I'm running, trailing after, you know, this thing ahead of me. I don't know what it is. My life, the world. And I just can't keep up. And I don't know. I've just lost the grip on it. So I'm not doing insane things. I'm not in that territory at all, you know. If we've got a scale, the real crazy people are down 25% below the absolute minimum. You know, they're completely working backwards. But, you know, if 100 is perfect, geez. Hey, give myself 60% at least. That's not that bad. But I could do just a whole lot better. That's all I'm saying. I don't know how you measure these things. I don't know why you would, but I just suddenly had to do that. Forgive me. Anyway, that's all. I just want a little bit of a catch-up. I'm still, you know, hoping that... I remember several podcasts ago I said, wouldn't it be neat if during the course of this whole podcasting history of mine, I actually got my act together. I actually really improved my life and really got my shit together. It doesn't look like that's going to happen for a while yet, but hey, stay tuned. Maybe just me owning up to my errors. Like maybe like each time I say something, I'm more aware of it. So maybe next time I'll actually go out and buy more fruits and vegetables. Who knows? Okay, thanks for listening.
But this, so I listened yesterday to two different shows. I listened to Scarborough Dude, Dixon James, and I listened to Mark Foreman from Getting a Leg Up. And both of them had shows that mentioned me. And so they had both emailed me and asked me to listen, and so I listened to them both. And Scarborough Dude's show, more so than Mark's, was a weird listening experience because it was mostly, a big chunk of the show was kind of responding to things I said and talking about me and his response, you know, to listening to my show. And it's a dual mixed emotion that I get from that. On the one hand, it is unbelievably flattering. You know, anybody that's lucky enough to have other people quoting your show in their show, you know, it's fantastic. At the same time, I mean, it feels like a responsibility and an honor, and I'm just, you know, I'm glad that somebody found something of value. On the other hand, it's hard to fight this lingering feeling like, have they not seen through it has the essential fraud that is me, did I pull the wool over their eyes? They didn't, you know, they didn't notice something about me, namely that I'm full of shit and I don't know what I'm talking about and I'm an idiot.
I don't know if I can compete with CBC. And welcome to part two. Please forgive me. I don't know who that is, but it seems a good song. Yeah, it's Saturday morning, and I'm determined to have this out by Sunday morning, so I got some work to do. These podcasts always involve the two parts of the actual talking part, which comes pretty easily for me. And then there's the piecing it together, and that involves choosing the music, which sometimes goes with the talking part, but sometimes done sort of after the fact, and the songs are squeezed in between clips to see if I can fit in something that seems to suit the rant. And then there's the putting it all into Audacity, all the clips, and adding in the little sound transitions and editing the stops and starts, and then the long process of converting it to MP3 and putting it into iTunes, etc., etc. So that's kind of the techie side. And I'm very, very weak on that. I do really nothing with the blog. It's free. I don't invest any more time in this than I have to. But having said that, I'm committed to trying to give you a decent end product. And today, more than ever, I feel a real responsibility for that. Having just listened to most of the weekend Evil Genius Chronicles, Clambake by Dave Slusher. And again, entertaining and just plain interesting. And I'm very, very glad that I got over my little hissy fit and I'm listening again, subscribed again to that show. And he talked about when people send in letters of appreciation, as I did, and lots and lots of others, how it makes you feel kind of proud on one hand, but it's a bit of a burden on the other, and I guess I feel that a little bit. I don't know if there are any new listeners as a result of that show or any other shows that I've been mentioned on. And by the way, there are quite a few now. Partly through me sending out emails to these people, but if there are any new listeners, hey, I promise you I will do my best to give you good and interesting tunes and to make what I have to say, you know, hopefully a worthwhile rant. It is an obligation, and I think that's kind of good. I think we should be setting the levels of expectations high enough. So anyway, that's the start of this ramble. I am parked once again in that North York Country Club parking lot. I took a little walk. I was going to do this thing outside, but not only is it chilly, but it's windy. There's a lot of extra noise out there. And it's private property. So I've gone right back to my car. I'm in the exact spot I was, I guess, 2 weeks ago when I did this, or a week ago, looking out at that stream with the water, sunlight dancing on it. It's another beautiful fall day here in Toronto. And it feels kind of nice. But I'm kind of at a loss again as to where to go with this. So I guess I should do what a lot of other podcasters do. And that's introduce sections and clips. I've said I'd do that from the beginning and I never have. This is going to be totally unrelated and out of the blue, but just to get out of the way, TV shows. I know Daryl of Pod Dog has talked about how much he likes TV and the shows, and I was surprised to find we had a few in common. So I'm just going to mention a few top of my head, and if you don't know them, I think they're worth checking out. If you're looking for a cartoon, a funny cartoon that appeals to children and adults, it is Family Guy. It's in reruns. You can find it on so many stations. It's really funny. The characters, the dialogue, you really have to listen. It's bizarre. And I think very, very funny and takes off where The Simpsons left off. I might have mentioned that before. The Office, I know everybody raves about the British version of The Office. I have not seen an episode yet. I'm going to borrow the DVD collection. But I've just seen a few episodes of the American version, and I think it's terrific. I really think they've done a good job, so I'm anxious to see the British version now. If the American one is that good and people are raving about the British one, I'm in for a treat. Coronation Street, I'm a regular. The show drives me nuts. The characters annoy me so much, but I'm hooked and have been for so long, so that's just a given. Trailer Park Boys, I know it'll run its course. It'll soon be done. They just won't be able to go anywhere with the series. They will have tried everything. And every show dies a natural death. They're not there yet. It's terrific. If there are any American listeners out there who haven't seen this yet, you're in for a treat if you want a little slice of Canadian life. It's just about some guys just out of jail, or they're in and out of jail constantly, and the only way, they're always hoping to make some money so they can retire early, and the only way they know how to do it is to sell hash or pot. It's pretty open, and I think it reflects Canadians generally open attitude about pot. These guys aren't junkies. They're not mean. They're a bit stupid at times. Ricky's always struggling to get his grade 10. Julian does the thinking for him. Julian, who's addicted to rum and cokes. It's just a funny show. If you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. 6 Feet Under, a great one. I'm way behind. There are people who have the whole season. They've got it off the pay-per-view channels, and they're way ahead, and they say, I'm in for some big surprises. I don't want to know about them. I don't want anybody telling me what happens. I'm just watching it as it comes up, and I think it's fantastic. One of the best things that's happened to TV in a long, long time. A guilty pleasure, I shared this with Daryl because I know he watches, is Vegas. It's a fluffy, silly show, but there's no real violence. It's just a really nice little pleasure. It's just glitter and glamour. The women on the show are gorgeous and attractive. The men are attractive in their own way. The cars are beautiful. It's just the glitter and glitz of Vegas. I think they got it just right. They've picked a perfect cast. They've got the level of the show, and it's such a nice relief. I was talking with somebody else about The Shield, and that show gets me about, man, that's depressing. That is so heavy and so down and so dirty that, you know, I watch it anyway, but what a refreshing change to watch something as vapid as Vegas. So there's my TV corner, my little recommendations, if you haven't caught those, and if anybody wants to send in shows that they like. One I didn't mention, it's just finished, is Da Vinci's Inquest from Vancouver, and I like it because it shows what I think is the real Vancouver, but mainly for the main actor, Nicholas Campbell. He's excellent. And they've just come out with a new season, and it's called Da Vinci's City Hall. I haven't really had a chance to watch that yet, but hopefully won't be disappointed, but certainly the actor, Nicholas Campbell, is one of Canada's great actors out there. So there's the TV show, TV segment. So I don't know, I guess that's time for a tune now. So I'm going to stop here, a pause, throw in a tune, and get right back to you. Hang on.
a sound of love. So are you in or are you out? Huckle up, baby, to the sound of love.
Enjoyed that one. That was Danko Jones, The Sound of Love. And that was recommended to me by my good pal, Etobicoke Joe. Etobicoke Joe, who loves music and loves women, especially Japanese women. He's a horny bugger. But I won't get too far into that, because I don't think he'd appreciate hearing that. But Etobicoke Joe, you know who you are, and thanks very much for those tunes. Man, oh man, some good stuff there, and I really like that. That's Danko Jones, and I'm told they're from Scarborough. Well, that's pretty exciting. I'm going to do a little more research on that, but until I find out otherwise, that's the story, and I'm sticking to it. Yay, Scarborough, a lot of good stuff come out of here. And Scarborough just gets such a bad press everywhere. You know, for shootings and gangs and just nastiness and being Bush League and out in the sticks, Scarberia, Sarsborough, all that crap. But there's a lot of creative people who've come out of here. A band I don't even like, Bare Naked Ladies, that's they're Scarborough folks. And Jim Carrey lived in Scarborough for a while when they were poor, practically living out of the car. And what's his name, the guy who does all those great movies, our funniest Canadian actor, you know who I'm talking about, you know, gold member, you know, that guy, just can't think of his name. Anyway, good for Scarborough. So I got to tell you about another friend, and that's Jake. I talked about Jake. Jake was the first guy to ever send in a comment to the very first Dixon Jane's episodes that were up there, and Jake is the pal I met on the internet when I was back in Japan. I was subscribed to an old-fashioned first-class chat line and met somebody who was reading Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance and hooked up with him, and I've told you that story before. It's all out there. If you're interested, listen to every bloody episode of the Dixon Jane's podcast and you'll know more. Anyway, he's a good friend, and we continue to meet maybe once a year or so, and he was on a round-the-world tour, and I told you, I think last show or the show before, that he was just in Beijing and just having a wild time, and just he was really taken with the freedom he saw there, and the growth, and the, you know, all the things that the media and maybe our governments try to convince us Beijing is not, and he said, no, no, man, this is where it's at. So that was very refreshing. Anyway, he, after visiting clients in London, he flew into Toronto exclusively to visit the Scarborough dude and his family because he knows my wife and my boys. My wife, one of the few people my wife actually likes to visit with because he's fluently bilingual. I mean, completely in Japanese. So she can sit there and have a great conversation, unlike anybody else I know. And that's kind of fun, and he's always taking interest in my boys, and that's just cool. Anyway, I just wish like hell I could reproduce the conversation we had. We had a couple of good walks. We walked to Thompson Park, so I showed him the whole graveyard and the whole place where I started off these podcasts. And the next day, off to the Scarborough Bluffs, another famous landmark, right on Lake Ontario. And the conversation continued. And what's kind of interesting, a little bit bizarre, is while he was visiting, I lost my iTalk. And man, I was bummed out for the whole time he was here. I'd put it in my pocket, and I guess I was kind of thinking, gee, maybe on one of our walks, I'll just hand it to him and have him talk. Not to do a promo, but maybe, you know, just a little talk. And 'cause he's so interesting and so smart. And I lost the damn thing. And man, I was bummed out. And I went back to the two stores I was in, asked the clerks there, checked out the parking lot, and so I was just convinced that this thing was lost under, you know, in the park, fell out of my pocket in the parking lot because I'd gone to the mall to change the fuse to fix my stove and all that. Shouldn't even be telling you this story, but anyway, I was lost, and I was bummed out, man. I don't want to pay the $60-$70 to replace all this stuff. And my son kept saying, Dad, it'll turn up, you know. I've often lose things, think they're lost, and they're right where they should be. And I'm thinking, yeah, God, I wish I could believe that, but it's not. But anyway, after Jake left, I went up to my room and looked in my briefcase for what should have been the umpteenth time, because that's the place you check. Instead, I've been checking the car 20 times when I knew it wasn't here, and I kept thinking, I'll check once more and it might be there. And it's so stupid. You know how you lose things? You look in the same place again and again and again as if it's magically going to turn up. So no, finally, I listened to my son. I went to my briefcase, put my hand in, and there it was. Where it had always been, it was never fucking lost. Only me thinking it had been lost and making this big fuss. But, of course, I never did get that clip, and that was meant to be, you know, for whatever grand reason there is. I never did have a clip of Jake, but our conversation, like we just talked about the meaning of life. I know it sounds silly. It's the kind of thing you have around a campfire. But really digging into our personalities and why human beings are so complex, and God damn it, I knew I wouldn't be able to reproduce any of it here. I knew there was it was a pointless story, because what's the point of telling you somebody? It's like that sunset you try to describe, and hey, man, unless you're there, it doesn't mean a fucking thing. And it's the same with this conversation. So maybe I can just conclude and say, man, it's just so great to have really good friends you love and care about and are interesting. And that's how I feel about my buddy Jake, and I look forward to our next meeting, and it might be in Canada, and it might be in Japan, or it might be in Australia where he's currently living. I'm just trying to think, how can I weasel around the world ticket on my next trip to Japan to justify a trip there? So, that's it. It's just too wonderful for words. But that sharing and having people you care about, that's the wealth. That's what life is about. And I guess anybody who's listening here could, either you've switched off by now and said, who is this boring old fart ranting on? Or you tuned in and you understand the value of friendship and how important that is. And it goes beyond family. The one thing we did talk about, the one thing we connect with, and I had the same connection with another friend I'll call Gloria, who is also a listener. Both of them are listeners, so I'm going to be very careful about what I do say, because both of them are very, very shy. And with Gloria, we talked about, again, the joy of friendship and how it's different. And every friend you have offers something different. And we sort of mesh our personalities with the person we're talking to. And you know what you can talk about. And you know what's off limits with that person. And you know you go to certain people to talk about certain things. And you share and you treasure that. And with other people, you just know, okay, this isn't really going to work. This person's just not comfortable talking about emotions or feelings. And so I'll talk about something else, but I'll still enjoy and I'll still value that person for what they have to offer. In the same way, we're giving them a part of ourselves that they really need, because that's why we're friends. And it's a wonderful thing. It sort of, it just works. It's self-selecting. It's like gears meshing. I don't know. We just find the person. We value that friendship for all that it has to offer. We just joy. We celebrate it. And they're defined. I guess there are limits to them, too. And then you meet somebody else, and it's a different kind of friendship. It's a different conversation. When I go over to Tobago Joe, well, we're talking about women. And with somebody else, it's something different. With Jake, it's about life and karma. And the conversation we had when we went to the graveyard was about rebirth and whether it's, you know, he believes it's true, reincarnation. We don't have any proof. And I'm just not sure about that. Whether we do come back, and if we did, you know, well, what part of us? And is there any connection to who we are now? And what is this? who we are. Who the fuck is this Scarborough dude, for example? Or what purpose do we serve? Is it just completely meaningless, like the dinosaurs? We just die, our time's up? Or is there some purpose? Is there an evolution in life, which I used to firmly believe, and for some reason I'm having doubts now that there is any meaning to these lives? They're petty, they're insignificant, and we just try desperately to assign some meaning to them. And yet, you know, you come back to, what are you talking about? Of course there's meaning. And there's this meaning in our present day-to-day, and the connection to the podcasting we're doing now is this wonderful, The Last Evil Genius Chronicles, played a wonderful quote by Ted over on Island Podcasting. And hey, I don't mind saying Dixon James played a little part in that, because Ted heard my show raving about it, and he kind of tuned in and picked up on a theme that Dave Slusher was talking about, and he had to add to it, and Dave was thrilled to get that, and all of this is part of a piece. It's all so wonderful. So complete strangers, people who've never met, are touching each other as friends, as people who care. And that, man, that is what it's about. That is what matters. That is what's important, because we're a stranger of planets. I mean, planets. We're I love that. We're a stranger of planets. No, I mean, we're a planet of strangers. And we live in fear. And we run around with big sticks hurting each other all the time. And we gotta stop that. We gotta learn to love and to care and not be afraid. And touch each other somehow. And even through this silly little new medium of podcasting, we're touching each other. We're reaching each other. We're caring about each other. And God damn it, man, that is what it's about. That is what matters. That is important. Oh, God, thank God, you know. And this is what I count on, folks. I count on just opening my mouth, talking till I arrive at a place I'm happy with, and then I'll stop talking, you know. Like, I can stop there, I can end, I can give you another tune. Thank God, it's like having an orgasm. It's like fucking, it really is, this whole thing. You just got to reach that point where, oh, thank God. And that's the point. I've just reached that. And I don't know whether you've noticed or not, but it happens a lot in podcasts. Maybe it's closer to jacking off. I'd rather not think so. But one way or the other, there are orgasms. There's a point you got to get to. And I've just got there, and I thank you. You know, I thank you, listeners, for putting up with all that. And for, I hope you can reach the spot that I've got to, because it's a good place, and I know you'll do it in your own way, and if you're still with me, you can dig it. Thank you. Bye-bye. Whew. God. Whew. Gotta stop now. That's for fucking sure. Yeah. Okay. I think I gotta end with a little PS here, because this is just too good a reward. On this last, the October 28th Evil Genius Chronicle show, Dave, he uses a lot of lines that I really like. And this one was, we've only got the karma we bank ourselves. I believe that was it. And after that last little spiel in the car where I had my orgasm, figuratively speaking, I got out of the car and went for a walk. And I discovered a hiking trail, a beautiful trail. It's an actually old paved road alongside something called German Mills Creek. I've never heard of it. I've never seen it before. I never knew it was here. And it leads out from sort of the end of that lousy golf club. You just walk down the road, and here's the beginning of this trail. It's looked after by a scout troop in Markham, so they try and keep it up and keep it clean. Unfortunately, I hear a probably one of those goddamn leaf blowers in the background. God, how I hate those things. I hate them next to these stupid little motorboats, you know, the things that go on the water. Things I don't even want to mention. You know, those Sea-Doos. God, I want those banned, and I want fucking leaf blowers banned. The city of Toronto even talked about it. Anyway, how I do get sidetracked. I am sitting right by the creek now on a rock, on a place that I only found because of you, the listeners, because I had to give out that rant about what's the purpose of podcasting, and here is my reward. Just to sit beside a creek, and I found this for the first time. I've got it forever. Like, every Saturday morning now, they're forever changed because of this. I've got a place to walk to, and this will be lovely in the winter, it'll be lovely in the spring, it's lovely now in the fall. I'm looking right up at a hillside with trees in various colors, the sun peeking through the clouds, and this is a real, this is a historic site, the German Mills Valley. This is a tributary of the Don Mills, of the Don River here in Toronto. It's just great. So I'm just so happy about this little reward. I had to tell you, you know, hey man, do the right thing and good things will come your way, and I've just had something nice come my way. So I thank my podcast listeners for this true gem, this treasure that I'm sitting beside. That's the PS, that's the end, and we'll sign out with another nice tune. Bye-bye.
Too late to run, I'm too weak to fight, I'll lay here guarding my bed till the demons are gone by the light. My body aches, my will is tired, each day it's harder to breathe as I stand on the edge of fire.
excuse me. If you're still listening, I'd like to take this brief opportunity to make a public service announcement. I really feel I've let down my end by not piping up the way other people have about worthy causes and so on. So I'd like to make up for that now. I've got an ad here from the latest iWeekly, and this may interest some of my listeners. I'm just not sure, but I'm going to read it out to you. They're looking for ecstasy users. So if any of you are interested, please contact this number. It's the Center for Addiction and Mental Health. It's conducting a research survey to determine whether ecstasy damages brain neurons, which use the neurotransmitter serotonin. So the study will involve brain scans, PET and MRI, as well as behavioral assessments. That's here in Toronto. Now, just to be sure, to make sure you qualify, all subjects must, number one, be current regular users of ecstasy, and have used ecstasy on at least 50 occasions during the last 2 years. Okay, so that's at least 50 times. Not have used cocaine, methamphetamines, heroin, or any antidepressant drugs. Be clear on that, please. Be able to provide a hair sample, at least 2 inches long, in order to confirm the ecstasy use and the lack of the non-ecstasy drugs. And not drink more than 12, this is for males, or 9 for females, alcoholic drinks per week, or smoke more than 20 cigarettes a day. So if you meet those qualifications, please call Tina at 416-535-8501, extension 6241. Thanks very much for listening, and I hope that is of some use to somebody out there. Thank you, and goodbye.